John chapter 17 and the verses 17 through to 19. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Last week I commenced looking with you at this matter of sanctification. You will see that the Lord has used the word here in the space of three verses three times. And he begins the paragraph and he ends the paragraph with the same expression, sanctify through thy truth. And so we have been looking at sanctification. And last week we considered the necessity of sanctification. We looked at the question, or the subject, why every Christian should be interested in sanctification. And we saw that we should be interested in our sanctification because Christ desires it. He prays for it. Christ died for it. For them I sanctify myself. He died for our sanctification. He exemplifies it, gives us an example of holy life and wants us to be like that. He also has left us the scriptures, the truth, which sanctifies us. And it is how we're kept from the Satan and from the world. Our sanctification is how that prayer is answered, that would be kept. And also we should desire it because it is essential for effective evangelism. We can't be effective evangelists if we have unholy lives. And so these are the reasons why every Christian should be interested in sanctification. But the text not only tells us of the necessity of sanctification, it mainly tells us about the means of sanctification, the method of sanctification, through thy truth. That's the way to it. It's through the truth. But we don't want to deal with the subject, the means of sanctification, today. That's for a future sermon. But what I want to deal with today is to consider more the nature of sanctification and consider that in a little more detail. You see, there's no point looking at the means of sanctification if we're wrong about what sanctification is. So we have to consider this in more detail because there are many erroneous views about this subject. And we need to be very clear on what it is. We as Reformed Christians, what sanctification is about in the Bible. So we need to be very clear on what our Lord is praying for, what he's actually asking for us when he prays for our sanctification. If we're wrong about the nature of something, then that will be hazardous for us and even lethal. You'll remember that terrible fire in London lately. And no doubt there were many factors about that fire and what caused it and how it spread so quickly and all the rest, that terrible tragedy. But one of the factors seems to have been a wrong view about the nature of the external paneling outside and the insulation that was behind that paneling. The builders had a mistaken view about its nature. They thought that if it caught fire, it would melt and the insulation would disintegrate and it wouldn't catch fire and it wouldn't spread. So they had a wrong view about the nature of it. And so when the fire did, it didn't melt and disintegrate. It burst into flames and it spread. It spread. So they were wrong about the nature, their understanding about the nature. And so it led to tragedy and a disaster. And the wrong use of it in the building. And erroneous views on sanctification are like that. They're harmful in the Christian experience. They can even hurt the Christian, his understanding, his mind, even hurt and hamper and hinder and even harm his Christian experience. So there are Christians who have wrong views on sanctification, and that leads them to a wrong use of means, and it leads them to become discouraged. And some Christians are even depressed because they have a wrong concept of what sanctification is and what it means. So we have to understand the nature of this matter of sanctification. There are some other Christians, they're not depressed because of a wrong concept of sanctification. They have another wrong concept of it, and they become careless. And they don't even use the means, and they're not concerned about Bible study or Bible reading every day and the necessity of hearing the word. They're just careless. And so we need to be right about what Jesus is asking and praying. So God's will is our sanctification, of that there's no doubt. But what is sanctification? And that's really what we're considering today. I want you to have an understanding of what it is in your Christian experience. Now, we must first of all recognize then that sanctification is a work. It's a work that is progressive in this life. And it's a divine work, and it's also a work that's a human work. It's a work that God does, and it's also a work that we do. And this is essential in our understanding of this thing of sanctification. God sanctifies. That is clear. Because that's what the Savior's praying. He's praying, Father, sanctify them. So it's very obvious that it's something God does. And it's a work that God does. And it's a work that he does in us. But yet it's also a work that we participate in with him, as I'll try to show. Now, the Westminster Shorter Catechism actually asks the question, what is sanctification? And there's no better answer than the one it gives. So it actually asks the question we're dealing with this morning, what is sanctification? And the answer it gives, sanctification is the work of God's free grace. It's a divine work, whereby we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God, and are enabled more and more to die unto sin. That's our work. We are enabled to do something. God's grace works in us, enabling us to do something, to die unto sin more and more. It's progressive. More and more to die unto sin and live. We have to do that. We have to die unto sin more and more, and we have to live unto righteousness. So it's something God's grace does, and yet it's something we do. And it's progressive because we do it more and more, daily. A great answer to the question, what is sanctification? So it's a work of God's free grace in the believer. And what is a work? A work is a process. I mean, this building, did it just poof, appear? Was it an act? No. It was built. Started from nothing. And time and process and progress, more and more, it was built. Until it became a building. And it's not even yet perfect. No building's perfect. And that's a good picture of sanctification. It's a work that takes time, more and more. And we're active in that work, participating in that work, part of that work. We are enabled more and more. Now, that's very different from justification, brethren and sisters. Because the Catechism asks the same question, what is justification? It says justification is an act, not a work. It's not a work of God's free grace. It is an act of God's free grace. It's instantaneous. It's like establishing a law. It's done and that's it. And justification is instant. A sinner saved in a moment. He's joined to Christ by faith and he's saved. He's forgiven. All his sins are washed away. Justification does not admit of degrees. There are no different degrees of justification. All saints are justified the same. Fully justified. Fully righteous in Jesus Christ. But sanctification's not like that. There's different degrees of sanctification in the saints. Some are more sanctified than others. The building looks better in the life of some others. And the longer they live, the better the building becomes. More and more. So you see, there's a great difference between justification and sanctification. And the Romanists, they confuse the two of them. But they're distinct. And they don't mix. So the child of God is saved. He's forgiven. He has the imputed righteousness of Christ. That's it. But sanctification is not like that. It's a progressive. It's ongoing. These 11 men that the Lord is praying for, these apostles, the Lord is not praying that they'll be saved. He's not praying that they'll be forgiven. He's not praying that they'll be reconciled to God. No, he's praying for the increase of their holiness. He's praying that they'll become better men, that they'll become more godlike. That's what he's praying for. And so we have to understand that, brethren and sisters. They're saved, but they're not perfect. And he has to keep praying that they'll become holier and holier. You see, Peter, even though the Lord prays to sanctify them, Peter's still capable, and indeed soon will, deny the Lord. Even though the Lord says sanctify them, and yet Peter will go out the door here pretty soon, and he'll actually deny the Lord 3 times. And he'll even swear, I don't know him. I mean, he's sinned grievously. He's not perfect. And yet the Lord's praying for his holiness. And John, he's still capable of wanting fire to come down on sinners. And Thomas, he's still capable of missing meetings. There'll be a meeting he'll miss, even though the Lord's praying, sanctify them. And yet Thomas will miss a meeting shortly after this. And he'll be filled with unbelief. Oh, I won't believe. I won't believe unless I touch his hands, see the wounds. He's still capable of doubts. So all the 11 are still capable of running away at the time that the Lord is seized. About this work of sanctification then, that God does in his people, there are two important things we have to keep in mind. These two things will keep us from the two dangerous errors that abound about sanctification and its nature. And I want to tell you what those two errors are, first of all. The first dangerous error is that you can be justified but not being sanctified. That you can have one without the other. That you can be a justified man, but you are not necessarily a sanctified man. They so separate them that there's a point of time between them. And that point of time can be years and years and years. And then all of a sudden, something happens in a Christian's life, and he has a second experience, and he becomes sanctified. That's an error in some Arminian camps that is really harmful to the Christian mind. And it can lead to terrible depression and awful despair. Because there are Christians who think, I'm not sanctified. And I need this experience. And they pray and they do this and that and the other. And they're waiting for some baptism of the Holy Spirit that will parachute them into the sanctified life. That's erroneous. That a man is saved and yet he can kind of continue unsanctified until he reaches some point in his life where he has a second experience. They call it the second blessing experience. And some teach that is sanctification, that you need this baptism, this the second experience, and that really transforms your Christian life, and you're holy. And so there are those who are praying for that, and they're seeking that, and they even teach that that's what the Lord's praying for these apostles. And some of them even said that it did happen in Pentecost, that the Holy Spirit came down, and they were sanctified. The prayer was answered. And now all of a sudden they're super holy men. The error of the second blessing crisis experience, and there's a gap between justification and sanctification. That's the first error. But then the second error is the error of sinless perfection. That sanctification makes a Christian perfect, even perfectly sinless. And that a Christian can't say he's sanctified until he is sinless, perfect. And both of these errors are described differently, and different words are used, and there are various shades coming from each of those, and sometimes the two of them are even joined together. So I'm using a very broad brush to describe the both of them. But they harm the Christian mind and the Christian expectation in his heart. If he has imbibed these views in his understanding. And so I want to try to impart to you a Christian understanding of what sanctification is about, so that you won't become discouraged, and so that you won't become careless. So the Lord's Prayer is not about either of these two things. And Pentecost is not about a second blessing experience that launches them into a new sphere of super holiness. That's not what Pentecost is. Very different. Pentecost is about the Gentiles coming in. That's what Pentecost is about. That's why the gift of the languages was given. It's about getting the Gentiles in, about the gospel now going out of Israel, away to the Gentiles. That's what Pentecost is about. Even the symbolic feast of Pentecost, it set that forth. So it's not about being super holy. It's about evangelism to the Gentiles. The fullness of the Holy Spirit for that. This prayer didn't make them perfect and sinless, not even at Pentecost. I mean, we're studying the book of the Revelation midweek, as you know, and it will be a long time before we get to this portion, but you'll know that in the book of the Revelation, the old Apostle John, he fell down and he worshipped an angel. He's not perfect. He's so overwrought by this vision, he forgets that you'll not have any other god or bow down to any other idols or images, and he falls down before this angel. And the angel has to say, get up. You can't do that. Worship God. That's old John. He's not perfect. So this isn't a prayer that will be perfect in this life. This sanctification, sanctify them. So there are two things we have to understand about this sanctification for which our Lord prays. The first thing is, he is not asking for something new for them. He is only praying for the continuance of that which they already are experiencing. They've already been sanctified for 3 years. They've already been under the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ for 3 years. He's already been purifying them with the Word for 3 years. And now he's about to go. And he's praying that that process will continue through the truth, through the Word. So he's not praying for something new, something they haven't had, something they haven't had already experienced. He's just praying for the continuance of that which they already know, the sanctification that's going on in their lives. He's praying for that continual grace to increase in holiness in their life. And so the thing that we need to know about this sanctification is that it commences when a man's saved. There's no time gap between justification and sanctification. A man's saved, he's justified, he's forgiven, and he begins to live the life of holiness. There's not a gap between them, but that life of holiness intensifies, it increases, it grows, it's ongoing, it's a process, more and more. So the Lord's not praying for something new here. That's the first thing we have to understand about this. It begins when a man is saved. The sanctification process begins. So we're made saints at the new birth. We have the life of God in the soul, but that life has to be nurtured and nourished and is capable of growth. It's just a seed. It's just a seed at the new birth, but it grows, it progresses, it becomes a tree. And that takes time. If I could illustrate it in a very simple way, if I take this hand, I'm saved, I'm justified. But if we take the erroneous view of sanctification, when you're justified, you're down there in a plane of holiness. You're not just very holy at all. But then something happens in your life, and you're lifted away up to this. You become this hand up here. Something happens, and you're blew and parachuted away up to a higher plane. That's a wrong view of sanctification. And there's no link between this hand and that hand. You know, you've just been going along, and all of a sudden you have a crisis experience. Oh, I'm not godly, I'm not holy. Lord, give me the Holy Spirit. And zap, you're way up there. That's wrong. It begins down here, and by a process, a continual work and process of time and years in the Christian experience, you grow, you grow, you grow, until you're up here, a tree, rooted by the waters, having meditated on the word day and night for weeks and months and years. That's how it happens. That's how it happens. If you neglect God's word, it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. If you go along like this here, don't expect to be way up there. No, no. If you've neglected the word of God, if you've neglected the preaching, if you've neglected the truth, that's not how it happens. And so that's a crude illustration of it. So the Lord is praying about that process. Sanctify them more and more, more and more. And that's happening in their lives. So that's the first thing. The first thing then is that it commences with justification and is a process. But the second thing is it ends with glorification. That's the second thing. It ends with glorification. It does not end in perfection in this life. You know, some people think it grows and grows and grows and grows and grows, and then it continues till you become perfect. No, it doesn't. It never becomes perfect in this life. It doesn't end that way. If we ever get a point in this life where we say we have no sin, oh, I'm perfectly sanctified now, I have no sin. If we say that, we deceive ourselves. It does not admit of perfection in this life. In many things, James says, and he's including himself, in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Such a man doesn't exist in this life. So sanctification does not end in perfection. How does it end then? It ends in glorification. God comes along and he ends the process, and he just immediately and instantly glorifies the saint, and he's made perfect then. So sanctification does not make perfect. Glorification makes perfect. When we see Christ in his glory, and it transforms us, just as when we saw him by faith, we were saved. And so when we see him in glory and in reality, we shall be perfect, for we shall see him as he is. But that doesn't happen in between times. You see what I'm saying? So it begins in justification, but it doesn't end in perfection. There's no sinless perfection in this life. And there are Christians who think that there is, and that they can attain it and should attain it, and they get discouraged. even to praise. So that's the second thing. The church of the confession of our church states sanctification is imperfect in this life. And so the Lord is not praying for their perfection. Not in this verse. He prays for it later on. When he says, I pray that they will be with me and behold my glory. He's praying for their glorification and that will make them perfect. But the sanctification doesn't. And even as an old man, as I said, John will still be capable of falling down and worshipping an angel. Because he's not perfect. These two things we have to understand. He's begun a good work in us, but he won't perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. So let me give you another illustration then of what I've said. I know I'm laboring this point, but it's so important that you think rightly about sanctification. So another illustration, a tree. The seed planted is regeneration. There's real life there. There's true life there. The growth of the tree, progressive, is sanctification. It can even grow a big tree. Plenty of fruit, ultimately and eventually, hopefully, and the leaves aren't fading. But no matter how big that tree becomes, and no matter how fruitful that tree becomes, that is not a perfect tree. And it's not the end of that seed. The end of that seed is not a perfect tree. And so the growing from the seed to the tree, that's sanctification. But that's not the end. Because one day that tree is going to be cut down and it's going to be made a glorious piece of furniture. Or it's going to be made a glorious book. Pages. It's going to become a lovely, lovely book. That's the end of that tree. And that's the end of a Christian. The end of a Christian, he's planted, he's born again, he grows, he's a tree, a fruit-bearing tree. But one day the Lord's going to cut him down. He's going to make him a glorious piece of furniture in heaven. That's the end. And sanctification doesn't bring that end. It's a cutting down, a death, and the work of glorification of the furniture maker, whatever, making us into a vessel of glory. Now, it's a crude illustration, but I hope it helps you understand what I'm trying to say this morning. No matter how big a tree we become, it will never be perfect, and it's not our end. We're to be cut down, and we're to become something beautiful and something perfect. So regeneration, instant. Sanctification, a work of progress, perhaps years and years, even decades. And then glorification, instant. Instant. A change. We're changed. We all shall be changed. So you see that regeneration and glorification are instantaneous acts of a moment. But this sanctification is a process. And we participate in that process. We don't participate in regeneration. No, we don't. We're born again, and we have faith then. We're able to believe. But regeneration is an instantaneous act of God. And glorification is like that. We don't have any participation in glorification. We die, and instantaneous change in the marvel of grace, glorification. But in this in-between, we are enabled more and more to be participating with God, working with God, using his means of grace, and dying unto sin, and more living unto righteousness. And so I hope that understanding helps you. So the Lord is praying that there will be growing fruitful trees. Every tree has still perfections, imperfections. Now, I've been long on this point, as I said, because it's very important. There are many Christians, and they're so discouraged because they see imperfections. They see faults. They see sins. And they're seeking some experience, and it just doesn't come. And they even begin to think, can I be saved at all? I still see things in my heart. I still battle with doubts. I still have a problem with my anger. So, you know, someone slaps me on the face. I still have a problem with my anger. There are things that happen in my life and I just see there still are things there. They're not conquered. And the child of God can become discouraged. And so, child of God, you must continue to understand that you are a work in progress. That you're not perfect. That there will be the snares of the wicked one, and they will at times get you. And there'll be pressure. And you'll begin to see some of the stones that have not been taken out of your heart. So you're a work in progress. And don't be discouraged and utterly depressed when you fall or let the Lord down. No, there's forgiveness. And the blood of Christ continues to wash us from our sins. And we continue to battle and run away from sin. It's a progressive thing. More and more you're enabled. And also, although this is a bit rarer, there are some Christians who think that they are perfect. They think that they never sin. And whenever they hear saints mourning about their sin and mourning about their heart, these Christians actually think, oh, they must be living in terrible sin. But it's because those Christians have a wrong view of sanctification. They think they're perfect because they're thinking wrongly about what it is. And they think that they have reached sinless perfection. But the holier a saint becomes, the more sanctified a saint becomes, you know what happens? The more clearly he recognizes remaining sin. The more light he has, the more and more he sees the stones in the ground that are still there. You know, it's a bit like, I know I'm heavy on the illustrations this morning, but it's a bit like a piece of ground, a massive piece of ground, wild, wild ground. And that's what we were when the Lord saved us. We were wild ground, but he bought us and he saved us. I know that wild ground has to be worked on. And whenever you get wild ground, what's the first thing you do? You get the big rocks. And you take away the obvious surface material, the big massive rocks, you take them away and you get them out of the ground. And you look back, all the big rocks are away. That looks like a perfect ground. And there are some Christians who think that's it. The big rocks are away. The big rocks of sin in my life are away. And I'm perfect. I'm a perfect piece of ground. I'm the Lord's ground, and the big things, the big sins in my life, they're all away. But you know something? That's not how it should be. Because whenever you take the big rocks away, that's not the ground prepared at all. The ground's not perfect yet. Because when you walk the ground and you begin to work with it in detail, you realize there's still stones. There's a stone, a big stone, and there's more stones. And you gather them all up, and they have to be taken away. And you're at it all your life, and you still find more stones. You still find more stones. And that's the way it is for a Christian. He doesn't stand back. Oh, the big sins are away. I'm perfect. I'm sinless. No, no. The child of God, he's walking with God and he's working with the ground and he's studying his heart as he searches the scriptures and he finds more and more wee stones. And they have to go too. And there's no end. There's no end to the stones in your heart. And if you ever get to the place where, oh, there are no stones left, you're deceived. You're deceived. Just dig a wee bit under the surface. I tell you, the devil will do it. He'll come along and he'll brush the surface away, and you'll see plenty then. But that you see, so that's another illustration of there are Christians who think they're sinless because all that's gone is the big stones, the big obvious things in their life that are wicked. And a Christian who gets to that state where he thinks he's sinless, he's deceived, and he's not really enjoying fellowship with the Lord at all, and he's not making any use of Christ's blood. How can you make use of Christ's blood when you think you're sinless? How can you stay near the cross if you think you're sinless? He's not having the true fellowship in the light with the blood of Christ all the while washing all them stones that he discovers in his walk with God. That's sanctification.
you more and more realize, I'm a sinner.
C.H. Spurgeon met a man, or I can't recall, but maybe it was a woman, whenever I come across this illustration a long time ago. And this woman, I think it was a woman, she had been saved for, you know, so many years, 30, 40, I don't know, X years. And she believed, sanctified shortly after. And she was perfect. And she was able to say to Mr. Spurgeon, you know, Mr. Spurgeon, I haven't sinned for, you know, 30 years. Of course, Mr. Spurgeon knows, he knows how to give an answer to a person like that. And in this particular case, he said, oh, you must be very proud of that. And she said, yes, I was. I am proud of that. So the stone of pride hadn't been removed. It was still there. Oh, the poor soul. No true humility. And the people who are of this camp, they're just self-righteous. That's all they are, just Pharisees. They haven't got an idea of the spiritual nature of God's law. Not one iota. And sometimes it's to be wondered, have they any grace at all? Because one of the surest signs of grace is humility. Sanctification is in this life then a progressive work of God. And the Lord Jesus has to intercede about this every day. As long as we live, he's praying, sanctify them, sanctify them, sanctify them through the truth. Oh, bless that sermon to their soul. Bless that word that my servant has today for them in my house. Bless that word to them, Father. Sanctify them through the truth. Make them holier. Make them holier today as they sit under the truth of the Word of God in the house of God. This is what he's praying. This is what he's desiring. More and more. Not even Paul claims sinless perfection. And if there's anyone you study in the Bible who is a man of God, it's the Apostle Paul. But not even he claims such a thing as sinful perfection. I mean, that's why we read Romans 7. He says, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I'm saved. I'm born again. And the inward man delights in the law of God. But he says, but I see another law in my members. I see other things. And they're warring against me. And they're bringing me into captivity. Oh, wretched man that I am, he says, who'll deliver me from this body of death? So he's in a constant warfare. Constant battle with sin. Constant striving against these remaining stones that every day he's digging up as the Lord is working more and more in his heart. Now I know that the sinless perfectionists, they treat that passage in another way, but they are utterly wrong. Paul is not writing as one in an unregenerate state. No unregenerate man could say, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. He hasn't got an inward man. And he has no delight in God's law. There's nobody out there unregenerate has a delight in God's law. This is a saved man. And yet he's warring. Oh, wretched man that I am. I'm carrying this dead body. But he knows he'd be glorified. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a constant battle. It's a process. Child of God, you're a work in progress. Don't be discouraged that you're not perfect, that you still find stones. Dig them up and repent of them and walk in the fellowship and in the light and be washed in the blood every day. But progress, go on. Don't be depressed. Don't be discouraged. Don't be defeated. Don't look at what you are now. Look at what you're going to be in the day of glorification. And just go forward and go on. Continue to use the means of grace. Continue to study the Word. Continue to be under the preaching of the gospel. John Flavel said, it's easier to cry against 1,000 sins of others than to kill one of your own. And that's right. It's easy to find faults in others and to kill all their sins. But when it comes to our own heart, one sin can be a great battle. But keep battling. So I hope that helps us to understand the biblical doctrine of sanctification and of have an understanding of its nature. We'll know how important it is
to be under the truth every day.
Let's pray then.